Today we are making the case for why the Falcons should make a blockbuster trade for Lamar Jackson, as well as hire Vic Fangio as their new defensive coordinator.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and of course, the most humble host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And of course, today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. And first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. Guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel, and you'll get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And check us out also on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV as part of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Just download the Locked On Sports Atlanta app, and you'll get Locked On Falcons as well as Locked On Braves and other Locked On Sports Atlanta shows on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So, guys, today we're going to sort of do the opposite of what we did 2 days ago. Spent a whole episode making the case for why trading for Lamar Jackson, making the blockbuster trade, wasn't worth their time because of the idea that it would hurt them long term. And today we're going to kind of flip the script, and we kind of touched upon this on yesterday's episode with Alan Sterk, and basically make the case of why it makes sense to go after Lamar Jackson, because it's beneficial to the team short term. And, you know, again, we won't spend the whole episode, we won't spend a whole 40 minutes talking, breaking that down like we did the other day against Lamar Jackson. But, you know, of course, I reserve the right to, you know, take a deeper look into some of these issues and topics at a later date. But sort of, I think part of the reason why we're doing this is, you know, one of the things I would love this podcast to be more known for, and one of the messages I try to consistently get across on this pod is the idea that, you know, a lot of these issues that we talk about and debate and discuss all the time when it comes to football and other avenues of the internet, is it often people present them as a right versus wrong thing. And I like to sort of look at them often as a right versus left thing, meaning that it's more a matter of preference. And ultimately, you know, you can go down either path. It just depends on your preferences and your biases, right? And for me, I know a lot of us who are fans of this Falcons football team, you know, we're in it for the long haul, God willing. You know, hopefully we'll be around for 5, 10, or 20 years, and we want to see this team be successful and build a dynasty over the next 10 to 20 years or whatever the case may be. And we as fans, you know, understandably have that preference. But, you know, that leads to a little bit of a bias of looking more towards long-term things as opposed to the people that are actually the decision makers in that building that may have to be a little bit more short-term thinkers, right? You know, it doesn't mean that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot and Rich McKay and Arthur Blank don't care about the long-term, but they, you know, feel that pressure every day that the NFL stands for not for long. And while, you know, Arthur Blank may, you know, strive to have that Steelers-like stability within his organization, the fact that he's 80 years old, even if they're able to build it, right? Is he going to be around long enough to see it, right? And Arthur Smith may look at, you know, Mike Tomlin and be envious of having, you know, 15 years of job security, but, you know, what is the odds that he is going to get that here in Atlanta? They're not particularly good. So why not make a play for a Lamar Jackson now and make a bid, you know, to maybe leapfrog some teams and be one of the top teams in the NFC? And this picks up where we touched upon with Alan Sterk on yesterday's episode, but it kind of stems from this idea of like the NFC may be headed in a bit of a lull. Some of the teams that have been the top teams in this conference the last couple of years, like Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Green Bay, possibly the Rams, you know, are teams that may be trending downwards as opposed to upwards. And you look at the class of the conference, like Philadelphia, San Francisco, Dallas, as the teams that you would imagine would be the kings of the conference for the foreseeable future. But like, they have some potential holes. You know, Philadelphia, known for their strong play in the trenches, but they're getting older in a lot of these areas. Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, all these guys are on the wrong side of 30. Jalen Hurts is entering a contract here in 2023. What happens if they have to pay him $40 million or more a year? How much are they able to maintain their, you know, their high-level roster moving forward? San Francisco, we know they have a stacked roster, but they have their own quarterback concerns. Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it Trey Lance? Is it Brock Purdy that's going to be the guy that leads us to the promised land? Maybe none of the above, and maybe they have to go back into that well. And Dallas, right? You know, they're a solid team. I don't think people look at them as the premier team, and maybe they take a dip. Right. You know, they've been known as a defensive driven team the last couple of years. Maybe they take a dip if Dan Quinn winds up getting hired in the next year or two, getting his another shot as a head coach elsewhere in the NFL. And so it does feel like there is a window that's ripe to be exploited over the next 2 or 3 years for another team in the NFC to sort of join and throw their hat into the fray and make a play. And certainly you would imagine the Falcons trading for Lamar Jackson could be the team that could potentially exploit that window. When you couple, you know, Lamar Jackson's play at the quarterback position with having young playmakers like Tyler Allgeier and Drake London and Kyle Pitts on rookie contracts that you know, can exploit for the next couple of years. An offensive line that seems to be getting a lot more stable in the near future, with Jake Matthews having 2 or more years left in the tank, you know, paying Chris Lindstrom, but you can backload that contract to the point that it can be manageable over the next couple of years. Caleb McGarry, if you can keep him, a similar sort of situation in his situation, and you figure, okay, you know, Dwayne Ledford's a good enough coach. We'll figure it out at left guard. We'll figure it out at center. And we can suddenly, with our running game and with some of these weapons, we can put together like a top, you know, 10 type of offense here for the Falcons over the next couple of seasons. And that's going to really, you know, change the math in this conference. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Again, Grady Jarrett, similar to Jake Matthews, probably has a couple more peak seasons left where you can really exploit in this 2 to 3 year window. AJ Terrell, another guy that's due potentially a monster contract, but again, backload that to make it more manageable. You got young players like Arnold Ebiketie, Taquan Graham, Troy Anderson, Richie Grant on rookie contracts that you're hoping to develop into, you know, high-level starters or quality starters, right? And then you can kind of fill in the gaps by going on a big spending spree this offseason, shore up some spots up front in the secondary and elsewhere, and you could backload those deals. And you could also make maybe instead of going after the traditional free agents that may be a little bit older, specifically hone in on some younger free agents, guys like Jesse Bates, Tremaine Edmonds, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Charles Omenihu, Daron Payne, Zach Allen, Byron Murphy, among others. All these guys are going to be 25 and 26 when they hit, if they hit the open market this offseason. And traditionally, you like the idea that maybe they'll have a little bit more longevity than the traditional free agent that's 27, 28, that may only last 2 years, that may be on the decline by the time they get to 29 and 30. And these guys won't necessarily decline 2 or 3 and possibly more years down the road. And that's sort of the blueprint to build up. It's like a mid-level defense, right? That you could potentially take advantage of a quote-unquote down NFC over the next couple of years, right? And you look at this past year, right? You imagine Lamar Jackson in this offense the past year. You could easily see this Falcon team being 4, 5, or more wins better with Lamar Jackson instead of Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder moving forward. And even if you are concerned about, you know, Lamar Jackson's durability concerns, you know, we're committed to that backup quarterback. We love that backup quarterback. So we feel a lot better about Desmond Ridder potentially stepping in and sort of, you know, keeping this team afloat should Lamar Jackson miss, you know, a handful of games in the future moving forward. And so you kind of look at that formula for the Falcons with a top 10 offense, a top 15-ish defense. That's a similar formula that you've seen teams like Seattle when they had Russell Wilson those last couple of years, as well as Green Bay under Matt LaFleur sort of have, where they were top 10 in DVOA on offense and top 15 in DVOA on defense. And those were teams that could win, you know, double-digit games, get 2 seeds, get 3 seeds, all those various things. And while those teams weren't able to get over the hump and get to the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls, you know, they weren't, you know, use transport those teams to today. They're not dealing with the Tom Brady led Bucks. They're not maybe dealing with the McVay led Rams that were able to bounce some of those teams out of the postseason. And so you realistically feel like you have a shot. And while I can sit here and say, hey, you know, be patient, build a much more sustainable football team moving forward, but you, if patience could wind up working against you, right? Because we don't know, you know, there are various factors out of our control and we don't know what's going to happen. Like hypothetically, just using a hypothetical, right? Not a prediction, but a hypothetical. Let's say Carolina trades up for Bryce Young and he's everything that everybody dreams of. Let's say this year the Bucs are really bad and they're in a position to go get, say, a Caleb Williams to sort of fill the shoes of a Tom Brady next year. And those, and that guy is, you know, everything that people think he's going to be. And the Falcons, while if they, you know, stay the course with Desmond Ridder, he may turn into a good quarterback, but he may not be a great quarterback. And it's a similar situation that you see with the Raiders with Derek Carr. Good quarterback, but not a great quarterback, playing in a division that features Patrick Mahomes, features Justin Herbert. You could see a similar situation in the NFC South by playing it patient, where Carolina could be the team to beat in the South because they have, you know, Bryce Young is there, Patrick Mahomes, or, you know, Caleb Williams is Justin Herbert. And the Falcons, even though they may put together a good team, may wind up being playing third fiddle in this in the NFC South just by playing the more long game than necessarily taking advantage of this opportunity ahead of them for this sort of short-term game. So while I can sit here based off of my biases and wanting to see this team sort of lay the foundation for, you know, what could be 20 years of success and build that dynasty or whatever in my wildest dreams as a Falcon fan, you know, and that may involve using these draft picks on players that are going to be Falcons for 7 or 10 years, these first round picks that we would wind up giving up for Lamar Jackson, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that this regime has to think that same way. And certainly, while I may not agree with the idea of trading for Lamar Jackson, as I explained the other day on the podcast, I will understand if this team does decide to go in a different direction, because again, that wouldn't be my preference, but I can't sit here and say that they're wrong for that, because I do think, based off of this argument I just presented to you, you can make a pretty compelling case that they do have a golden opportunity ahead of them. And, you know, I think part of the reason why I might be a little bit more biased around this situation is because it feels like a movie I've seen before, right? It's similar to kind of how I felt like those 2010 to 2012 Mike Smith teams were, where they sort of pushed their chips into the middle of the table to make that run, or the 2016 to 2018 Dan Quinn led Falcons that pushed their chips into the middle of the table to make that run. And I saw that those things didn't work out for them. And I feel like, well, now, you know, if you swing again, you might wind up striking out. But as they often say, maybe third time's a charm. And while Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, it may be a familiar movie to me, to Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, they feel like they're, you know, being innovative and rewriting, you know, Hollywood scripts and all that stuff with their formula for success. And maybe they do have that magic formula that, you know, it seems like, oh, well, this is the same schlocky sort of stuff I've seen before in theaters before. But no, this may be one end up being that summer blockbuster that makes $500 million or $1 billion, to continue the sort of movie analogy there. So while I feel like I've been burned by that two times ahead of time, it doesn't necessarily mean that the third time is doomed to fail. So that would be, to me, the case for trading for Lamar Jackson. I'm curious what you guys think about that. Is that a compelling enough case for you to sort of switch it? Or, you know, are you, maybe you're still a little bit hesitant or a little bit reluctant, but you're like, okay, well, you know, that's a pretty good argument. And so if I need to buy in, if we do find ourselves making that big blockbuster trade, now it's going to be a lot easier for me to buy in on that notion. So I'm curious, leave a comment, give me your feedback on that front. But we will move on from Lamar Jackson and the big splash that he may make for the offense, and talk about a potential big splash for the defense with the hiring, or at least the interest that the Falcons have in potentially hiring Vic Fangio as their new defensive coordinator, guys. And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. And make sure, as your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, that you're going to get the daily conversations on the biggest stories in the NFL by subscribing to Locked On NFL on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, guys, I want to tell you about BetOnline, the number one source for your sports betting info, stats, news, analysis. And since I know you love podcasts, they have those as well. And part of me is happy that I lost a little money this past weekend going chalk, and there were a couple of upsets, because now I feel like, okay, I can be a lot more confident going chalk this weekend, because, you know, 2 weekends in a row, it's not usually going to work. So I feel like, hey, I'm going to take the Chiefs as 8.5-point favorites over the Jaguars. The Eagles are 7.5-point favorites over the Giants. The 49ers are 3.5-point favorites over the Cowboys. I mean, I am a little reluctant to take the Bills as 5-point favorites over the Bengals, not because I don't think the Bills can beat the Bengals, but that feels like a game that's going to come down to potentially a field goal. And I'm going to take, you know, my talents over to BetOnline, where they have the odds and trends for every professional sports and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, to soccer, to esports. They've got you covered at betonline.net. So use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. So let's talk about Vic Fangio, who reportedly interviewed, according to Ian Rappaport, on Wednesday. And, you know, this is big news for the Falcons, because you would imagine Vic Fangio would be the leading candidate to be the Falcons defensive coordinator. Not necessarily because, you know, he's number one on their quote unquote DC board, but just because he's kind of the hot name in NFL circles right now as defensive coordinator. He's the big get, right, when it comes to defensive minded coaches at this point in time. And what's interesting is Fangio was reportedly earlier linked and attached to Sean Payton and where he might wind up. But, you know, seemingly, I don't have any insight into where Sean Payton may go. You know, check out Locked On Saints potentially for that. But it's interesting to look at BetOnline and see some of the odds that they have. They put the best odds for Payton that wind up in Denver, followed by Houston. You know, Carolina, it's plus 225 for Denver. He's the number two person behind Dan Quinn, plus 300 for Houston. He's the number two person there, plus 400 for Carolina. He's number three. He's also top three in Arizona, with plus 475. He's way down the list for the Colts. He's the 11th guy at plus 1600 in terms of his odds. We're talking about Sean Payton getting there. And so if you imagine a scenario where Sean Payton does take the Denver job, you know, you can imagine another scenario where Vic Fangio will be a lot more reluctant to join him there, because he was just the head coach of the Denver Broncos for 3 previous seasons, from 2019 to 2021. And so now maybe Vic Fangio is exploring his alternative options for where he may wind up going, even if he does necessarily prefer to join Sean Payton wherever he winds up. Now, prior to being the Denver Broncos head coach, which was a mixed bag of success and results, obviously, Fangio was the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears for 4 years under both John Fox and Matt Nagy. He has a connection, of course, to our true general manager of Ryan Pace here in Atlanta from those shared days in Chicago. Prior to that, he was the DC under Jim Harbaugh for 4 years with the San Francisco 49ers, the defensive coordinator of those great 49ers defense, including the one that we faced in that 2012 NFC Championship game. Prior to that, he was with Harbaugh for 1 year at Stanford in 2010. And he was also the linebackers coach in Baltimore for 4 years prior to that. And in fact, was Dean Pease's predecessor, who took over as the linebackers coach after Fangio left for Stanford before ultimately Pease went on to become the Ravens defensive coordinator. And prior to his time in Baltimore, there have been 11 seasons where he was the defensive coordinator in Carolina, Indianapolis, and Houston. And, you know, basically since Fangio returned to the NFL back in 2011, he's kind of been the guy, the hot name in defensive circles. I remember a couple of years ago, they asked Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan at the time, sort of the hot, you know, offensive minds in football. And they basically asked them, who's the hardest defense to attack? And they universally all said Vic Fangio scheme. And we've talked a little bit about this in previous episodes over the last year or two, which is talking about how the NFL as a whole is moving away from the Pete Carroll Seahawks style of defense, which is a lot of cover three, middle of the field close, meaning there's a safety in the middle of the field, single high safety in the middle of the field as the most popular coverage, to much more of these middle of the field open or split safety looks. And Fangio has been a big reason for that. And his disciples have been disseminating that throughout the league, with Brandon Staley with the Chargers, Ejiro Evero, who was the defensive coordinator of the Broncos this past year and a potential candidate for the Falcons before the Broncos blocked that hire. Ed Donatell, who was the defensive coordinator under Fangio in Denver, went to Minnesota this past year. Sean Desai, right, you know, who worked with Fangio and was the Seahawks defensive coordinator, which tells you that Pete Carroll himself, being the innovator and the icon in defensive circles, now moving towards this Fangio defense. And then basically the hallmark of this defense, the idea and philosophy behind this defense, is basically they're going to gear to stop the explosive plays that these high-powered offenses led by the Chiefs and the 49ers, et cetera, that are able to successfully generate that's taking the league by storm the last, you know, 5-6 years. But there is a little bit of a trade-off because typically these types of defense tend to be a little softer against the run as they sort of gear towards stopping those explosive plays. And so teams that can run the ball effectively against them tend to have a lot more success. And I think that's a contributing factor to why this year, I'm sure some of you guys have heard this, that, you know, this year league-wide that the rushing was a lot more effective this season in 2022 than it had been in some previous years. And I think that's in part due to the league trending towards, so, you know, these softer boxes with some of these defenses that Fangio is facilitating. So while his scheme is seemingly taking the lead by storm, again, a lot of cover four, cover two, cover six, those types of looks, it doesn't necessarily mean his scheme is magic, right? And still at the end of the day, as I will continue to stress time and time again, you know, at the end of the day, it's really, really about the talent that you have, right? And, you know, you look at some of those defenses that he had, like you look at, you know, the last 11 seasons that Fangio has been a D coordinator, you look at Football Outsiders DVOA, he's had a top five defense four times in the last 11 years. Three of those came in San Francisco. And part of the reason I think that is the case is he had guys like Alden Smith and Justin Smith and Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis on those defense. And he hasn't had quite that talent. The closest he's gotten to that is that number one ranked defense of the Bears in 2018 when he had a Khalil Mack, right? A Roquan Smith, those guys that they added, and they were able to add other pieces like Akeem Hicks and Eddie Jackson, Eddie Goldman, our good buddy, you know, to those defenses as well. And, you know, you go back to the 2020 Broncos defense, you know, again, the hallmark of these defenses, we don't give up the explosive plays. Well, I believe the 2020 Broncos defense gave up the second most explosive plays, those 20 plus yard plays in the season that year. And we saw this firsthand with the Falcons play the Broncos that year, where that was the game where Olamide Zaccheaus cooked Devontae Harris sort of in his NFL, not his NFL debut, but his season debut that week, right? And one of the reasons why that Broncos defense struggled so much is, you know, that was the year that Von Miller got hurt, right? And it makes a big difference when you have players like Von Miller and Patrick Surtain, you know, on your defense versus Devontae Harris and Malik Reed and Michael Ojemudia and whoever else they were kind of fielding on that defense. And of course, that feels like a no-brainer, but I have to stress that, guys, that ultimately at the end of the day, it's more important, you know, no offense to Vic Fangio or any of his schemes, right? But it's more important to have Von Miller and Patrick Surtain than it is necessarily having Vic Fangio. And if you have those guys on your defense, you know, there's a pretty much a trend that wherever Von Miller goes, his defenses tend to be good. I wonder why that is. So that is something I want to continue to stress. But certainly, I think the idea of hiring Vic Fangio would be a huge get for the Falcons. And certainly, you know, I know it would cause Falcon fans to be in a frenzy. And certainly, you would like to imagine, regardless of what happens with Lamar Jackson, that the Falcons would go out there and get the talent to be able to operate the Fangio defense at a high level in 2023 and beyond. So we will leave that conversation aside and wrap up today's episode talking about the idea of whether or not the Falcons could get a discount on Lamar Jackson. And instead of giving up, you know, five draft assets that include three first round picks, maybe they could get him at only two first round picks. And we'll address whether or not that's, you know, realistic or likely to happen as we wrap up today's episode, guys. But first, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Built Bar. Everybody wants to eat a little healthier this time of year, and you're probably like me. You want to eat healthy, but you don't want to compromise on taste. And of course, Built Bar is the thing for you. It's the healthy protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. And what makes Built Bar so good is they're covered in 100% real chocolate, and you can get flavors like peanut butter brownie and coconut almond. And again, they taste great, but they're also healthy too. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And for years, guys, I've been telling you to head on over to built.com, get a mix box, check out the new flavors, right? You can still do that, right? And get those new flavors and get those sales. But most importantly, you can now go to Walmart or Sam's Club to get you a box of Built Bars. That's right. Head over to your nearest Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a 4-bar box of cookies and cream and double chocolate. Or you can head on over to Sam's, run in, and grab a 13-bar box of brownie batter or churro. Guys, you'll thank me later. So we're going to wrap up today's episode by answering a question from the Discord that comes from Sandox. He asks, could you explain why the Ravens might use one tag over the other? One nets them two firsts and the other involves a bidding war. So why would they ever do the first tag? I feel like it was covered a bit in the latest episode, in the latest video, but I didn't fully understand. So yes, you're correct. Your assumption is correct. We'll break down why. And I should apologize that in that episode the other day, I said the non-exclusive tag and I meant the exclusive tag. That the Ravens would use the exclusive tag. And the difference is the exclusive tag is a higher number. I believe it's about $45 million for Lamar Jackson this year, but it prevents him from being able to negotiate with other teams. So it pretty much guarantees that he's either going to play for the Ravens or nobody else. It is only by their choice. The non-exclusive tag means that Lamar Jackson, can negotiate with other teams. And if he does agree to another contract with another teams, then the Ravens will have the ability to match that contract, and they would, if they don't match it, they would be compensated by getting two first round picks, right? And I believe that number is actually $32 million, so it's a little bit lower, right? But what I want to say is the idea that the Ravens wouldn't use the exclusive tag. I was about to make the same mistake. Wouldn't use the exclusive tag makes no sense, and it comes from something that Peter King wrote earlier this week in a column of his, and I'll quote him. I think it's going to be hard for Jackson to get a long-term contract without significant protection for the team. And the context of that statement was he was talking about Jackson's recent injury history, right? And to continue, he says, which means to me a significant likelihood that the Ravens may use the non-exclusive franchise tag for Jackson. If he agrees to a contract with another team, the Ravens can match it or be rewarded two first-round picks or a different deal the two teams can negotiate if the Ravens do not match. And again, this doesn't make any sense to me because there's no upside for the Ravens to use the non-exclusive tag, right? Because if they use it, it opens up a bidding war, which is something that the Ravens don't necessarily want from it if their goal is to retain Lamar Jackson, because essentially it's going to almost guarantee that if they do wind up matching that contract, it's going to be for considerably higher than whatever their last offer was for Lamar Jackson, whether you go back to the reported offer that they had in September, which was $250 million over 5 years with $130 million guaranteed, or they decide to up that offer between now and March 7th for the franchise tag deadline. But if Lamar Jackson says, nah, I'm good, and they slap him with that non-exclusive franchise tag, it's almost guaranteed that some other team is going to, you open the doors for other teams to begin negotiating with him, and the highest bidder can be the guy that ultimately agrees to Lamar Jackson. It's going to be higher than whatever the Ravens wind up offering him. And then if they don't match, the compensation is considerably less than what the market says it should be, right? The market says that a 26-year-old quarterback like Lamar Jackson should net you five assets, just like the Houston Texans got for Deshaun Watson last season, three of which should be first-round picks. And you're settling for two first-round picks? You're essentially getting 40 cents on the dollar. It makes no sense for the Baltimore Ravens to do this. Now, it's great for Lamar Jackson because it opens up the bidding war. It goes back to something we touched upon in that episode, something that Joe Corey of CBS Sports has talked about. When you look at the two instances of a team giving out a fully guaranteed contract to a quarterback, it happened in Kirk Cousins' case back in the day where he, after being franchise tagged multiple times, he was hit open unrestricted free agency, and the Minnesota Vikings gave him like a 3-year, $84 million contract that was fully guaranteed, which was unprecedented at that time. And then you look at last year's contract with Deshaun Watson, 5 years, $230 million, 230 of that being fully guaranteed, the biggest guarantees in NFL history. And while Watson wasn't a free agent, there was a bidding war between the Falcons and the Saints and the Panthers. And then ultimately the Browns swooped in and said, hey, we'll make you an offer you can't refuse by basically giving you basically twice as much guaranteed as any other quarterback in NFL history has had. And so if the Ravens open up the floodgates, the same thing will happen. Whether it's the Falcons, the Panthers, the Colts, the Jets, whoever it is, they're all going to sit here and say, okay, well, you know, Lamar, here's 210 million guaranteed. Here's 240 million guaranteed. Here's 250 million guaranteed. And then the Ravens will be stuck paying whatever, you know, Lamar's probably going to get whatever. He's going to have the leverage to negotiate, you know, that fully guaranteed contract the Ravens don't want to give him. So it makes no sense for the Ravens to do that. So I sit here And I say, you know, look, I respect Peter King. He's done a lot of great work. Generally speaking, if he says a thing, I will put stock into it. But this, to me, makes no sense. This, to me, is Falcon fans or any other fans putting on their team-colored glasses and not looking at it from the Ravens' perspective. They just look at, oh, of course, that's a great deal for the Falcons. They get Lamar Jackson for 40 cents on a dollar. Oh, of course, we'll make that deal all day. And I'll agree with those people. If the Falcons, if the Ravens were to do this and make this basically the stupid decision to do this, right, and give up control of you know, whatever happens with Lamar Jackson, which is basically what the exclusive franchise tag, it just allows them to retain control. They can either basically do the thing that the Texans did last year and say, you know, you have to agree to our trade before you can start negotiating with Deshaun Watson. They can do the same thing with Lamar Jackson, or they can just simply say, we're going to tag you and we want you back here, so we're not going to trade you. We're not going to let anybody else try to come in and take you off our hands. We're just going to keep you around for another year, and hopefully we'll be in a better position to pay you or keep you long term next year, right? There, it makes no sense for the Ravens to do it. But, like, yeah, if the Ravens were to do this, and, you know, you'd ask me, hey, you know, does this change how you feel about the Falcons making the trade for Lamar Jackson, regardless of the case that we made earlier today? Like, absolutely, yeah. If you can get a discount on Lamar Jackson, that's what we talk about. When people say a quarterback of his caliber rarely gets to the open market, you know, that's certainly a debatable point to make. But it's certainly rare where a quarterback of his caliber, regardless of how you feel about Lamar Jackson, gets to the open market and is discounted 60% off. Hey, we're giving away franchise quarterbacks for 60% off. So I sit here and I say, like, I don't think this is anything you should put in stock into. Like, it makes no sense for the Ravens perspective. Now, and especially given, you know, if this was a poorly run franchise, then I could understand it. But this is the Ravens we're talking about. This is one of the teams, you know, that is one of the most well-run organizations for the last 20 plus years, right? They're the team that values draft picks probably more than any other organization. So why would they give away, you know, the possibility of adding a first and probably potentially 2 seconds? You know, it doesn't make any sense. So I sit here and I would say anybody who's putting any stock into this, I would say pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe it happens. Maybe I'm sitting here eating crow and I will owe Peter King an apology come March 7th. But I am highly, highly skeptical of this possibility. So that, I hope, explains your answer, Sandox. And we will leave it at that. I was hoping to get to talk about Brian Branch and his potential fit, the Alabama safety slash corner on today's episode. But, you know, the Vic Fangio news kind of broke and we had to talk about that. So we will punt the Brian Branch conversation probably to next week, because tomorrow's episode, we will begin our year in positional reviews at the quarterback position, and probably, again, assuming, you know, there isn't too many other news topics that we do need to discuss, we'll probably start and hopefully get through most, if not finish, the offense next week, position by position, to do those year-in reviews next week. And then, of course, the week after that, I'll be down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and so that will probably be the focus of most of the content that week. And then the week after that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get through most, if not all, of the defense. And then the Super Bowl will be then. And then hopefully that day after the Super Bowl will be the first mock draft Monday of the offseason. And we'll have potentially, I think, 11 mock drafts Mondays between then and the 2023 NFL draft. And it'll basically give me an opportunity to talk about the Brian Branches and any other, you know, up to 11 guys that maybe fits for the Falcons, among other topics that we can explore on those episodes. So I am looking forward to that. Of course, you guys should look forward to it and make it your first listen starting tomorrow with the year-end positional reviews at the quarterback position. And always make Locked On NFL, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Bulldogs, Locked On Braves your second listen, all part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.